Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Wait to hear this. An inmate at Midlands Prison in Portlaoise has been explaining how he's committed to helping other inmates through difficult times after he himself nearly died by suicide. He was speaking as the Samaritans marked the 20th anniversary of the Listeners Scheme, where prisoners support fellow detainees in a time of crisis. Our reporter Barry Lenehan has more on this. He's at the Midlands Prison and he's with me now. Barry, what is the scheme all about?
Yeah, so earlier, Cormac, I was inside the Midlands Prison over the imposing walls and high railings to my left here on the Dublin Road in Portlaoise. And there I met one of the inmates, Tom, one of 105 so-called listeners in prisons across Ireland. Now, listeners, they're trained by the Samaritans to provide 24-hour support to their fellow inmates in a time of crisis to help them through feelings of upset, anxiety, depression. And this against a backdrop where prisoners, we're told, are 10 times more likely to die by suicide. The most recent figures show 203 episodes of self-harms recorded in Irish prisons in a calendar year, those figures for 2019. Now, there are 15 listener schemes across all 12 Irish prisons, supported by over 80 volunteers from Samaritans branches. And inmates, they can switch on a red light outside their cell to alert prison staff that they need to talk to someone in a time of crisis. They're then set up with one of the listeners on call at any time of the day or night, 24/7. Now, as for the listener I met here in Portlaoise at Midlands Prison, Tom, after an initial spell detained, he was released. He tried to volunteer with a service that helps vulnerable families and had helped him in the past. But Tom reoffended. He was jailed again. 6 months ago, though, here in Portlaoise, he took the opportunity to become a listener for the Samaritans with both hands. He's now looking to continue this type of work once he's released again. And here's what else Tom told me.
About 6 months ago, got the opportunity to come to be a listener. So I says, I will go and do it, because it was kind of personal to me, like, not really what I wanted to do. So I grew up and got involved in it. But it's one of the most best things I've actually got involved in since I came to prison. Like, being there for people, we don't give a voice around, we're just there to listen and hopefully try and help people, not really listen to one that's down the lowest. One prisoner to another, everything that's said between the two of us is confidential.
Tell me about the confidentiality. You know, Ireland is a small place, the prison community probably even smaller still. To build up that trust with other people, it must be important.
It is important. Like, the trust is a big thing in confidentiality. Like, if you go to talk to one person and then you go talk behind their back and tell other people, that's your break. There's no one rule that don't break in the listeners. You lose everything over that. You lose our listeners' progress. You lose everything. You'll never get people never trust if you're going around breaking that. It's mostly new people that come into prison. You know what I mean? There's nothing that's in here that I hear about listeners, but it's the newcomers that come in that are low, that don't understand what's going on. So we get down, we introduce ourselves to them and let them know, like, if you ever need to talk or think, we're here, we're listeners. You can call us any time, morning, day, night, any time at all, you can talk to us.
It is people who are coming in for the first time, getting used to the prison setting, getting used to perhaps their own sentence, that need the most help, isn't it?
It could be. If they're down low, I mean, that you don't understand, like, you know what I mean, you don't know anybody in here, it's a bit comforting to know that there is a scheme in here that help people like that.
Tell me more of why you got involved. You had your own difficulties yourself.
Well, when I was young, I was going through severe depression and tried to attempt to end my life. And a friend of mine came and told me there's supports out there that he's went through it, I should do it. But me, with my pride, the first few times, I was like, nah, who's going to listen to me? Why do I want to talk to anybody? I'd get through it. And then it was after I tried to attempt my life that I kind of realised, hold on, I'll give these people a chance, put my hand out for help, and they done a lot for me. They took me out with darkest moments. So when I had the opportunity to come here and do this 6 months ago, I took it up with both hands. Why not me help them? Because they helped me. So if I could do it in prison, where it's one of the most hardest places to be, where you're mostly alone, to know that there's people there to help.
You didn't want to seek support at first. I suppose Irish men are notorious for not looking for help.
It's a pride. It's all mostly pride, like, you know what I mean? I don't want to talk to anybody. I tell them, they go tell, you know what I mean, the whole prison. But it doesn't work like that with the listeners of prison. Doesn't work. What you tell us is 100% confidentiality.
What of the pandemic? People not able to see their families. What impact did that have?
That had a big impact on prisoners in here, because there was a time in prison where there was no visits. They had no video call set up at that time, and it was very hard on people, so people's relationships fell apart, I think. Yeah, it was one of the busiest times our listeners was through that pandemic.
How rewarding is it when you see somebody perhaps who isn't having the best of times, and after talking to yourself, that perhaps things improve?
It is good when we get to talk to someone. They could be really down, and it might take it 2 or 3 calls with the person. It's good to see when someone's down low, and then you see them a few weeks later after a few consultations with listeners that they feel better on themselves, they feel great. Some people want to attempt their life, and then they'd have no thoughts of taking their life again because you have someone to confide in. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good that you're able to help. If you help at least one person a week, that's reward enough for me. That makes what I'm doing worthwhile doing.
What about the next step for you? Is this something that perhaps you might be interested in when you leave here?
It would be helpful. It would be helpful when I get out, because it's a voluntary campaign. Like, you know what I mean? It's not a paid thing, and it would be something I'd like to keep going when I get out.
And that's Tom and his story. It's fascinating. What more can you tell us about how all of this started, Barry, this scheme?
Yes, so this is the 20th anniversary of the Listener Scheme in Ireland. It was initially established in Wales in 1991 after the death by suicide in prison of a 15-year-old boy who had robbed a woman's handbag, and this prompted inmates there to push for greater supports. Now, Cindy O'Shea, she's the regional prison support officer with the Samaritans Ireland, and she says the scheme works as it's prisoner-led.
Prisoners have a far higher risk factor for suicide than the general population, and that's due to a whole variety of reasons. Prison environment, trying to live in the confines of, I suppose, a situation that most of us have no familiarity with. Most of people who end up in prisons are from a very difficult socioeconomic background. So the Listener Scheme gives them the opportunity to speak to their peers. You know, being realistic, other prisoners have far more of an insight for what it's like to be in a prison environment than anybody else, including staff with the best will in the world, are indeed Samaritans. You know, how can I know what it's like to have a cell door banged out on me every night? I don't know, but other prisoners do, and they're the best people to talk to if you're really struggling.
That view, lock them up and throw away the key, how difficult was it, and indeed is it, to overcome that view?
I have to acknowledge that a lot of people will feel like that still nowadays, and of course you have to mention the victims and acknowledge their pain. However, if you put somebody into a situation where you lock them up and throw away the key, all you do is you breed anger, you breed violence, you breed contempt. And what you do then is, when those people are ultimately released back into the society, you're dealing with far more problematic people. However, if you put schemes in place that actually help people to think about their rehabilitation, you ultimately have people going back into the community who have a possible contribution to make.
How do you pinpoint or identify those who would make a good listener?
Quite often people are put forward by the staff, or indeed other already working listeners will recommend to somebody. So they'll come along and they'll come for interviews. Samaritans interview people to see if they're suitable. And then once they volunteer and apply and we've interviewed them and feel that they would be good, then they go through a 3-day training, and then they go through a mentoring period whereby they kind of work with established listeners to develop their skills.
Is there a risk of them dealing with complex psychiatric cases, given the number in the prison population who do come in here with a mental illness?
Prisons are they're big places, but yet they're small places. If somebody has serious mental health issues, prisoners on the same landing will know. And then if somebody with serious mental health issues calls for a listener, there's usually a context there, and the listener will be aware that this person might need specific help. Listeners, you know, will absolutely know whether they are able to kind of be there and support them or not. Their role is not to support complex psychiatric issues. That's the role of the psychological and psychiatric services in prison.
What next for the service?
It would be really nice to think that we could look at supporting people post-release, because quite often a high suicide risk time is immediately after somebody is released from prison. It would be great to think that we could set up some sort of support scheme for prisoners post-release.
And that is Cindy O'Shea there. What of prison staff themselves, Barry? What did they tell you?
Research in Britain in the past had shown that prison staff were initially reluctant to accept and support this scheme. But I was told today how it has received good backing here from all the various representative bodies. It is worth noting, though, as touched upon there with Cindy O'Shea, how over a third of Irish prisoners have a mental health condition, with the chaplains of the state's prisons previously expressing concern that prison staff were ill-equipped to deal with what they were experiencing. Some prisons were, what they said, a dumping ground for psychiatric illness due to a lack of services in the community, it has been claimed. However, Assistant Governor here at Midlands Prison, Ray O'Keefe, he assured me how listeners weren't exposed to the areas they shouldn't be, and he says the listener scheme underlines why prisoners deserve a second chance in society.
Like any change in any institution, something new is always slow to start off. The way that the listeners work is that they provide a psychological first aid. They're not there to sort the problem out. They're there that somebody can talk to them, feel comfortable. I feel stressed tonight. I feel that I'm under pressure tonight. And I'm in the listener's suite. I'm away from my cell. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm talking to a listener who just listened to me, and it'll allow me to make it through to the morning. The research that has been undertaken is the afternoon and the night time are the two key points where there are the most self-harm incidents. And you can imagine, I suppose, in a cell in the evening time, it's probably a time you're left with your thoughts, and the afternoon seems to be another time for various reasons that the self-harm incidents are higher.
So really, once the door is shut, that's when those incidents occur.
With the in-cell telephony, so everybody has access to a phone in their cell, they can ring their family up to 10 o'clock at night, and then maybe it's after that then that people feel lonely.
Some people listening might say, or might be of the view, why offer so much support here in the prison? What do you say to that?
Well, I suppose the reality is that every prisoner that's committed to prison in Ireland is going to be released at some stage. Do people want people released who are rehabilitated and who can engage with society and engage with the community to have a safer community? Or do people want somebody who comes back out of prison having not been rehabilitated and in a position where they're going to commit more crime? So the Irish Prison Service, one of its core missions is safer communities. That's not only the community outside the wall, it's also the community inside the wall. There's about 1,000 people here today between people in custody and people working with them. That is the same size as probably any small village in Ireland. So that the community here is safer because of the work of the listeners. That community engagement, they can bring that back out into the wider community on release.
And that is Assistant Governor of Midlands Prison, Ray O'Keefe, ending Barry Lenehan's report. Now, can I say to you, if you've been affected by any of the issues in Barry's report, you can contact the Samaritans very simply on 116 123, or please check out rte.ie/helplines for further information.